First, let's consider farming. Simon Pearson is at the University of Lincoln, where he looks at how robotics could revolutionise the way we grow our food. So what will these machines do?
Probably the earliest ones that you'll start to see are for crop sensing. So but basically, it's a very simple robot which wanders around the field, looks at crops, measures soil moisture, measures soil chemistry, and provides information back to farmers. Think of the Mars rover, but rather than wandering around Mars, we've got robots wandering around Earth. The next manifestation which will come through will probably be crop picking robots. So these are robots which, again, go into a field. They might not be autonomous, might be mounted on a tractor or an existing agricultural vehicle, but there'll be sensors on the robot. The robot will then detect crops, assess the maturity state of the crop, and then pick them.
And as it's driving around, so it's using sensors like cameras to look at the crop and so on.
Yep.
Can it distinguish between a pea and a potato or a pea, a potato and a weed?
Oh no, it can definitely do that. We're doing algorithm development, which is really using sort of machine learning techniques. So we have camera systems looking at crops, and then what the robot's got to do is segregate a weed from a crop plant. If it's a hoeing robot, you don't want it to hoe the crop rather than the weeds. So there's some very sophisticated algorithms which power those robots to give it situational awareness. With crop picking, that's particularly difficult because you're looking at one crop, but you're looking for different features of the crop. Whether a broccoli, if it's ready to harvest, whether that broccoli is 6 centimetres, 9 centimetres or 12 centimetres. That's really quite difficult.
If I look at the farmland near where I live, there are patches of the field that are clearly really good for that crop because the crop is 3 times taller there than it is in the bit next door, where there might be almost bare earth. Now, could that be because there's sort of regional variations in the soil quality, the drainage quality, the amount of nutrients that are there? And could a robot that has the time that a farmer wouldn't be able to painstakingly go along and dress the soil in one place to favour the crop and not waste its fertiliser on an area that clearly already has sufficient?
That's the whole idea. That's one of the big opportunities in robotics. So it's about field mapping and sensing. So to be able to produce informed decisions and accurate decisions or information on why you've got this in-field variability is probably one of the biggest opportunities in agriculture. Now, the reason is the theoretical yield of a crop of wheat is about 17 tonnes per hectare. The delivered yield of a crop of wheat in the UK is about 9. Now, within patches of a field, you will find areas which are close to that magical yield potential, but it's because of the variability in the field that we're not delivering the yields that we should. And so robotics, to enable understanding that variability and then mitigating against it, it could be a key driver of food security in the future.
How does this go down with farmers?
They're looking at it very seriously. Farmers are cautious people. They've seen lots of clever ideas in the past, and they're hoping it succeeds, but I think the jury's out. They're waiting for some of these technologies to deliver.
Is there not a cost in human terms? If you're paying a robot, which doesn't cost you anything once you've got it running apart from the electricity, to do that job, you're not paying a human.
Well, yeah, so the sensing robots, so the Mars rover manifestation, that will help with the yield gap. It won't really impact human labour. It will be an environmental benefit because it will be more precise application of pesticides and fertilisers to sustainably grow yield without increasing their impact on the environment. For crop picking robots, the industry's very highly reliant upon very large numbers of seasonal labourers. They're very concerned with the impact of Brexit in terms of the availability of labour. So the English and UK industry is very interested in robotics to try and provide a sustainable way to harvest their crops. If you go to Japan, the average age of a farmer in Japan is 69, and his kids don't want to go into farming. So there's a demographic issue of aged farmers and their children not coming through, or young people certainly not coming through into the farming industry. There'll be more people retired in China by 2030 than the entire population of Europe. So they have an enormous demographic problem. They're very highly reliant on migrant labour in the United States to harvest crops. So there's some huge global trends suggesting that labour availability is going to be scarce for many of these agricultural jobs, particularly crop harvesting. Now, that job itself, you've got to be pretty fit to do it. and it's a challenging job. You're in all sorts of environments. It's monotonous. It's hard work. You know, that just the sheer issues with that job itself are deterring people from entering in the workforce.
Are these robots up to doing this sort of heavy lifting in terms of you couple a big plough on the back of a tractor and you drag it through the field? Are these robots robust enough for that, or is there still going to be a farmer ploughing fields for the foreseeable future?
It's very early days for crop harvesting robotics. Probably the whole field's only 2 years in. Systems will get more and more robust, but there will be a limitation of what they can do. So big tractors are always going to be needed just because of physics. You need a very powerful tractor with a very large engine to turn over soil at a high rate. Now, other jobs like crop harvesting, where you've got less of a physics issue, you can have lighter weight machine, accurate machines, picking crops all day and every day.
Are you comfortable placing our agricultural future in the hands of a robot?
If you're winding the clock forward over 20 years, I would say yes, but there's some quite significant technical challenges that we've got to face up to before we can put a future in the hands of a robot.
Simon Pearson there from the University of Lincoln.